John chapter 5 and verse 10 is where we'll begin this evening. Pardon me. Hurry up, Dwayne. We're going to start without you. Now, let's read. I was planning on reading. Let's go ahead and do that. Let's read from here from verse 10 to the end of the chapter, and then see what happens. John chapter 5, verse 10. Now, this is right after Christ has healed this lame man, this man with this infirmity, okay, that couldn't get to the pool. Christ has just healed him. "Rise, take up thy bed and walk." And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. Okay, what does that matter? What does that matter that it was the Sabbath? Well, didn't matter to Christ. Didn't matter to this lame man. Mattered to some religious people. Okay, it was a big deal to these religious people. Now let's look at what it says. "The Jews, therefore, said unto him that was cured, It is the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed." Now the reason that they said that was because you weren't to be going anywhere, you weren't to be making a journey, you weren't to be doing any type of work or anything on the Sabbath day. So it says, "It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed." He answered them, "He that made me whole, the same said unto me, take up thy bed and walk." Then asked they him, "What man is that which said unto thee, take up thy bed and walk?" And wouldn't it be great if they wanted to know for the right reasons? Wouldn't it have been great if they wanted to know because they wanted to know, hey, who did this miracle? Wouldn't it be great if when people ask questions about God in the Bible, they were always sincere and wanted to know because they needed to be saved rather than wanting to argue with you about something? Wouldn't it be great if when people asked questions and had comments and everything, it was because they wanted to get down to the truth, they wanted to grow in righteousness, they wanted to be strengthened and wanted to help strengthen other people rather than people just wanting to argue? Wouldn't that be nice? "And he that was healed wist not who it was." See, he didn't know who it was, "for Jesus had conveyed himself away and a multitude beating in that place." Okay, so he couldn't point out who it was because Jesus had left. "Afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple and said unto him, Behold, thou art made whole, sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon thee. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which made him whole. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him, because he had done these things on the Sabbath day." Well, how dare he heal somebody? How dare he heal somebody and do something like that? Doesn't he know it's the Sabbath? Well, he's the Lord of the Sabbath. "But Jesus answered them, My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. For as the Father raised up the dead, he quickeneth them. Even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. That all men..." You know, I was just thinking as I was reading this, the world would love to stop after 21, after 22, wouldn't they? Wouldn't the world love to say, "See, look, God doesn't judge people. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son." They would want to stop after that first half, wouldn't they? Well, of course God is our judge. God the Son is our judge. Okay? "That all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. Why? Deity, Trinity, same God, three in one. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of God, voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesseth of me is true. Ye sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth. But I receive not testimony from man, but these things I say that ye might be saved. He was a burning and a shining light. You were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. But I have greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me. And the Father himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor his shape. And ye have not his word abiding in you, for whom he hath sent, him ye believe not. Let's go ahead and stop there for two reasons. I don't know if we'll even get that far, and I don't know that we'll get any further than that. And I have 39 through 47 all prepared here this evening, but in a way, it's kind of a sermon of itself. Okay? If we get through all of it, we get through all of it. If not, then 39 through 47, I'll preach next Sunday morning. But let's just stop there and see what we can do here. Pardon me. So here's this man. As we back up there, here's this man that Christ has just healed. And the Jews come to him and tell him, hey, they ask him, what are you doing? What are you carrying your bed around for? It's the Sabbath. And he says to them, okay, they said, it is the Sabbath. It's not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. Now, you know this man has already made it clear in the passage we looked at this morning that though we know how long he's had this infirmity, we don't know specifically how long he's been coming to the pool. Could have been the whole 38 years, okay? But we know that he's been there for a while because he's talking about how every time the water gets troubled, somebody else gets in before me. So he's been there at least more than a couple years. This has happened a few times, okay? So do you think for 1 minute that these Pharisees here that are talking, these Jews that are talking to him, that there's not at least one or two of them that recognize the man? I mean, if he's laying in the porch and he's wanting to get down to the water, one of them, somebody had to have seen him and recognized him, okay? So here's a man who there's a good chance they knew was lame in some way, and now he's not. Now, even if they didn't know, he tells them about Jesus healing him. Now, he doesn't know right then that that's who it was, but he tells them that somebody has just, hey, this person told me, get up and walk, all right? So they know this man has been healed. This man who could not walk, couldn't get down to the water, he's now walking. He's up walking around. And instead of saying, how are you doing that? They didn't say, what happened to you? How did you recover? How did this happen? They didn't even come in and say, you've been pulling our leg all these years. You've been fooling us. You've been trying to get some pity. No, the first thing is, it's the Sabbath. What are you doing? What are you doing carrying your bed? It's the Sabbath. What are you doing up and around? What are you doing working? carrying your bed. What's going on? It's the Sabbath. Don't you know you're not supposed? The man's just been healed. And their complaint is a religious, the complaint of a religious person. Look, I want to preach here for just a little bit tonight on the scourge of religion. And when I use that word religion tonight, I'm talking about an outward adherence to a set of standards. Okay? We know that Christianity is a, we have to be careful how we use the word religion. We know that Christianity is a religion. James said, talks about pure religion and undefiled. So there is such a thing as pure religion. But the word is also used, the word is also used to explain religious people who just do things on the outside. That's how I'm using the word tonight. People who just adhere to certain standards or certain things on the outside and there's no inward change, like the Pharisees. They're doing these things on the outside and they're all about tradition and they're all about doing certain things in a certain way and there's been no change on the inside. The first thing I want to point out to all of us, that all of us need to see is this. What is it that matters most to religious people? What is it that really matters to a religious person? We're not talking about a spiritual person. Pardon me, we're going to talk about religious and the redeemed. What matters to a religious person? Well, first, the outward adherence to some set of standards or rules is more important than the working of Jesus Christ. Far more important than the working of Jesus Christ. Making it look just right. Making it sound just right. This is what really matters to a religious person. Religious people will argue over lesser matters while showing little to no concern for the lost. Okay? You know who's going to put the new furnace in or who's going to do the carpet or who's going to do... We don't argue about that here. We just have Brother Randy do everything. Ain't no argument. We just have Randy do it. Yeah. Randy's back here saying, could we argue about it just once? Could we debate it just one time? Okay, you know people that argue about... Religious people. Look, I dress a certain way for two reasons. I dress the way that I do out of respect for God and His house and respect for the position that He's called me to. Okay? A religious person would make this more important than this. We have the kind of music that we have for a reason. We don't have things that appeal to the flesh. We don't have things that entice the flesh here. We try to keep it holy. We try to keep it centered upon Christ. We have a certain way of addressing, but a religious person would get more bent out of shape over that than they would is the gospel being preached. Now again, this does not mean that we just look however and we don't care. No, we have respect. This doesn't mean that, well, it doesn't matter what kind of music you have. No, we understand that's not the case. But we do understand that though those things are important, they're not the most important, are they? Should we be modest? Absolutely. Should we be clean? Should we be decent? Should we look respectful because we are honoring our God? We are a representation to the world of our God. Absolutely. But if we do that, but we're not telling them how to be saved, or we're telling them incorrectly how to be saved, and we're not preaching the truth to them, then what does this matter? Should we guard our music in the church? Absolutely. Absolutely we should guard our music. Should we make sure that it's not moving the foot rather than the heart? That it's not moving the foot rather than stirring the mind? That it's not appealing to emotions rather than appealing to our minds and our hearts being centered upon God's Word. Absolutely. We absolutely should do that, and we are careful about that. But if we've got the music spot on, and nobody's hearing the truth of the Word preached, then what's it matter? Those things are important. And we do have to guard against those things. Just like Christ told the Pharisees, He said, you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin. He said, you do all of these things, but ye omit the weightier matters of the law. He said, you do these lesser things and the more important things you ignore. But what did He go back and tell them? He said, these ought you to have done and not to have left the others undone. He said, you should do that. But you got to quit doing that and ignoring that. It all needs to be done. Religious people will get caught up in the outward things. They'll get caught up in not only the outward things, but they'll get caught up in the little things. They'll get caught up in all the things that would just put sand in the gears and slow down the work that God's trying to do. This is what religious people do. Argue over lesser matters and care more about adherence on the outside. You and I cannot even wrap our minds around this. We cannot even fathom how somebody could even mention the fact that it was the Sabbath day when this person's just been healed. How could you even bring that up? But if we stop and think about religious people whom we have dealt with, or maybe we were the religious person. Maybe there was a time when we were all about the outside and not the inside. Then we start to understand. We don't excuse it. It's not excused. But we see, yeah, I can see how people would do that. The fact is, religious people, they get all wrapped up in an outward adherence to something rather than the working of Jesus Christ. They're mad. They are mad. You know what this would be the equivalent to? Pardon me. This would be the equivalent of me standing up here some morning and saying, church, I want to let you know that so-and-so came and visited me the other day and had some questions, and they prayed, they got saved, they trusted Christ, they're going to be baptized. And somebody's out in the congregation thinking, well, I wonder if they said the right words. Okay, well then, what are the right words? There ain't no sinner's prayer in here. Well, I wonder if, hey, somebody just got saved. Well, it's about time. They've been coming long enough. Maybe now she'll quit dressing like that. Yeah, she probably will. Give her a little time. She probably will. Well, maybe now they'll do this, or maybe now they'll do that. That person's just been born again. That would be the equivalent. Somebody gets saved and somebody out in the congregation's griping and well, I wonder if they're going to straighten up now. Are they going to do this now? Are they going to quit doing that? Well, I wonder. Rather than saying, thank God, one more person got in. One more person got saved. One less person going to hell. That would be the equivalent. This man is standing in front of them. Remember the man who said, I can't get down there. I don't even have anybody to take me down there. He's walking around. He's walking around. He's been healed. What are you doing? It's the Sabbath. I don't know. I'm a smart aleck. I'd have said, I'm walking. First time in 38 years. That's what I'm doing. That's probably what I would have said, but I get in the flesh quite a bit and get in trouble, but I know I would have at least thought it. I'm up walking around. Haven't walked in 38 years. I need some exercise. I have been walking for about 38 years and still need exercise. But what matters to religious people? This outward adherence. They're mad about this. Okay? Now look. What matters to the redeemed? What matters to spiritual Christians? What matters to people who care about God working? What matters to people who want to grow? What matters to people who want to be changed? What matters to people who want to be what God wants them to be? Well, look, he answered, verse 11, he answered them, "He that made me whole, the same said unto me, take up thy bed and walk." You know what matters to the redeemed? You know what matters to people who've been saved? Now, I realize we're talking about a man here who's been healed of a physical infirmity, but you don't find, you'll have a hard time finding very many people. There are people, you know, Christ healed people who never thanked him. But most of the people that Christ healed believed in him and followed him. You'll find people that didn't. You'll find people who didn't thank him. But most of the time you'll find people who, hey, they start telling people about Jesus. That's who healed me. That's who did it right there. That's who did it. They start pointing people to him. What matters to the redeemed? Religious people, what matters to them is smaller things, little things, stuff on the outside. Traditions. I want to tell you what. You want to start a ruckus, just meddle into a religious person's traditions. We've always done it that way. You know, I'm thankful that when I came here to Faith Baptist Church, now, there weren't very many things that I did differently. You know, we changed the bulletin. We did a couple of things. I knew coming in it was, nothing needed to be changed. Everything's moving right along. Everything's working. Just jump in and get going. So the few little things we changed didn't matter. And I don't, you know, when we first got here and then decided, let's do a couple of things different. They were little things. They weren't that big of a deal. I don't remember anybody. I'm not saying nobody has ever complained about anything that we've changed or done different. I'm not saying that. There's always some questions and a little bit. But I'm saying that whenever we first came here, you know, there were some things we did a little bit different. And I don't remember anybody ever saying anything. And I don't know what the case is. Maybe nobody cared. Maybe everybody said, well, he's new. Let's not jump on him yet. But nobody's jumped on me in 3 years, but we just haven't changed that much. But I have to believe that the reason we haven't had any problems is because for the most part, we've got a group of people who, hey, we don't care what that bulletin looks like. We want to hear the word preached. And we don't care about that. We want the word. I'm telling you that to tell you this. It isn't like that everywhere. It is not like that everywhere. Boy, you'll go into some places and don't you, Granddaddy, why does this bulletin, your bulletin still looks like it's out of 1950 because Granddaddy did it like that on the typewriter and we're not changing how Granddaddy did it. Split the church right down the middle changing a bulletin. I know you've heard stories. They're true. There really are churches out there who get all uptight and put, why? Why? Your eyes are on the wrong thing. Acting like Pharisees, that's what people are doing. We care about doing it this way, or we've always done it that way, or why should we change it, or why should we? And like I said, we don't have a lot of that here. But there are churches out there that are full of it. Why? It's what religion will do to you. Caring more about these little things, caring more about tradition. Jesus chastised the Pharisees for their traditions. And he chastised them for passing their traditions off as the word of God. There's a lot in Judaism. There's a lot in the Jewish writings that the priests through the years have added. And Jesus chided them for it back then, that they were trying to pass off some of their traditions. Remember how mad they were? that Christ's disciples were plucking the grain and eating on the Sabbath? Remember how mad they were that they didn't wash their hands? Okay, that one I can just kind of understand a little bit. Okay? We're not justifying them, but that I can get a little bit. Y'all wash your hands. But they were so angry. Before them is the Savior of the world. Before them is Jesus Christ. Before them is the man who has come to die for their sin. And they're griping because they're picking something to eat on the Sabbath because they don't wash their hands. Look at who he's eating with. He's eating with sinners. But the whole need not a physician. You're okay. All right. What matters to the redeemed? Verse 11. He answered them, "He that made me whole, the same said unto me, take up thy bed and walk." Here's what matters to spiritual Christians. Here's what matters to people that want to grow. Here's what matters to people who God has done something in their life. You see, these Jews that are griping, they're not saved. Christ said so. We read it tonight. He said that God's word was not in them. Here's what matters to people who have been saved and God's working in their life and doing a work. You know what matters to him? Hey, that man told me. What matters to the spiritual Christian is what Christ has said. What Christ has said, that's what matters. What's his answer? His answer is, "He that made me whole, the same said unto me, take up thy bed and walk." What are you doing walking around? Why are you walking around? Because the guy that healed me told me to. Why are you up and doing this and carrying your bed around? Because that man who healed me told me to do this. What matters to a spiritual Christian? What matters to the redeemed? Here's what matters. What Jesus Christ says. What Jesus Christ tells us to do. God's word, not tradition. Not tradition, not the way we've always done it, not looking the part on the outside, but what matters is Jesus Christ made me whole. I'm going to do what he says to do. I don't care who that upsets. I don't care who that bothers. I don't care if that makes people mad. Jesus made me whole. I'm going to do what he says to do. That's what matters to the redeemed. That's what matters to the spiritual Christian. What matters to you tonight? We got to do it a certain way. Now, we have our way of doing things. And the Bible tells us to let everything be done decently and in order. So we don't just come in here and say, "Hey, who's going to preach tonight? Who's going to take a stab at it tonight? Who got a word from the Lord this afternoon?" No, we don't do that. We do things decently and in order. But we're not slaves to the order. We're not slaves to tradition. It's not, "Well, we've got to do it this way." Would anybody in here be upset if one Sunday, or any service, you pick any service out of the week, if I stood up and said, "We're going to sing and take up offering later. Let's get right into the Word first thing. We'll sing later. We'll take up offering later. Let's get right into the Word first thing." Who would have a problem with that? Well, probably nobody. Who would have a problem with it? Who wouldn't be able to get over it? Who wouldn't be able to hear the sermon because we didn't sing our songs first? Religious people. What matters to a redeemed person, what matters to a spiritual Christian that wants to grow and who God has done a work in their life is this: Christ has made me whole and I'm going to do what he tells me to do. That's what matters. That's what mattered to this man. He said, "He that made me whole, the same said unto me, take up thy bed and walk. And he that was healed wist not," "Then asked they him, what man is that which said unto thee, take up thy bed and walk?" Because we want to know more about him? No. Because we want to know what such man could do these things. No. We got a beef with this guy doing stuff like that on the Sabbath. Who's he think he is? Who's he think he is healing somebody on the Sabbath? What man is that that said unto thee, take up thy bed and walk? And he that was healed wist not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. So he's looking around. He can't point Christ out to him because he's not around. Afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple and said unto him, behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. I mentioned that this morning very briefly. I believe emphatically that this is not saying after you get saved, if you sin again after getting saved, you're going to lose your salvation. You're going to end up in a worse spot than you were before you were saved. We got just too much Bible that says that's not true. What is this telling us? This obviously is telling us that this man, his infirmity, was the result of sinful living. We don't know what he did. We don't know what he did. Remember when Jesus healed another man and the disciples wanted to know who sinned, him or his parents? And Jesus said, neither. He didn't and his parents didn't. But this man, he says, sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. So some people, as I said this morning, have infirmities because that's life. And some people, it's the product of sin. And some people are spared some of those products, some of those consequences. And some people are not. We don't know. We just leave that up to God. I don't know why someone like my grandfather began smoking when he was a teenager or maybe even younger, I don't know, and died in his 70s. And he didn't have lung cancer or anything like that. I don't remember that being what took him. And then somebody smokes for 10, 15 years or so and dies in their 30s or what. So one guy, hey, that's life. Sometimes your sin brings about physical consequences and sometimes you slip by. And sometimes you take the guy that's done everything right. I mean, he's never eaten off a styrofoam plate. He's never drunk out of a plastic cup. He's never tasted city water. He gets his medicine from the back 40. Goes out there and digs up ginseng root and chews on it and, you know, he's like, he reads up on the medicinal properties of bat droppings and why is there a guy that does that? And when he's 30, he gets the worst kind of cancer a guy can get and he's gone within a month. And then there's a guy that drinks and smokes and just puts whatever in his body and eats and all this stuff and because sometimes sin brings a physical consequence. Sometimes people slip by it. And sometimes stuff happens, and it just happens because it's just the fallen, sinful world that we live in. But here, what are we dealing with? Sometimes sin brings about some pretty serious consequences. This man was a result of that. This man is an example of that, how something sinful, something had brought this, because Jesus told him not to sin anymore unless something worse might happen. Okay? Let's examine this very quickly. I know I touched on it this morning. Let me touch on it one more time. When Christ came to him and the man needed help, We are not told until after he's made whole that he got himself there. We're just, when Christ walked up, did it matter that it was his fault or that it was just natural causes? What did it matter? No. What mattered is this man is not whole. This man is broken. This man needs help. And he's looking at the one who can help him. Then Christ afterwards comes back and says, now look. But before, all that mattered was that guy needs to be made whole. Okay? Now, before we move on from this point, here's the guy who's in a terrible shape because of his sinful living. Here's the guy who has lived sinfully and doesn't seem to be suffering any repercussions whatsoever. And over here is the guy who he loves the Lord and he's lived for the Lord and he's served the Lord. And it seems like every time he turns around, something. Every time he turns around, there's some kind of problem, okay? In all of those cases, the physical infirmity does not matter. What matters is, sick or whole, you need to be saved. Sick or whole, you need to be saved. And the guy that's saved, what's it matter? One day you're going to be completely whole. Only your body is sick, but you've already been made whole, and Christ is going to take care of that body before you go home. So, now I know that doesn't automatically make it easy, but it sure does help, doesn't it? I mean, come on. As if every spiritual Christian who's ever found out that they have some disease killing them has said, I don't care. Now, I don't care how spiritual you are. You get news like that, it'll set you down for a minute, won't it? It'll set you down for a minute. Why? Because you're human. But hopefully the spiritual Christian gets up and says, it's all right. It's all right. It's only my body. Temporal anyhow. I was going to lay it down anyhow. A little bit sooner than I thought, apparently, but it's all right. Christ's going to fix it. He's going to fix it. No matter how many years he gives me here or I don't get here, he's going to fix it one day. That is what matters. That's what matters. I want you to notice in verse 15, the man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which made him whole. Here's what else. Here's another characteristic of the redeemed. They're not afraid to tell other people who made them whole. They're not afraid to tell other people who it is that made them whole, that it's Christ Jesus who did the work. So we look at two different people tonight. Religious people, what matters is the outside, on the outside, everything on the outside, tradition, petty stuff, little stuff, this over here, gripe and complain, overlook the work that God's doing because look, our tradition isn't being... That's religious people. And spiritual people, the redeemed, the spiritual people, are excited over Jesus making a man whole. Are excited over Jesus making them whole. What are you doing up walking around? Well, the guy that healed me told me to get up and walk around. That's what matters to the redeemed. But don't you know we do it this way? Well, I know what Jesus Christ told me to do. I know what he said in his word to do. I know what his instructions were. You're going to make a lot of people mad if you keep doing it that way. You keep preaching it that way. You keep preaching on that and preaching on that. And if you don't lay off of that, if you don't quit telling people that, well, Christ saved me and I know what his word says. And that's to be our answer when people say, well, you know, you're going to make people mad if you keep it. Then they're going to have to get mad because Jesus saved me from hell and then he told me to tell other people what he said and that's right here and I'm just going to tell people what he said. Yeah, but we don't do it that way. Yeah, I know. I know you don't. But you didn't save me. He did, and I do what he says. And that's this man. Who told you? He said, look, just read it one more time. Chapter 5, verse 11. He answered them, he that made me whole. Boy, isn't that something? Who told you get up and start walking around? He that made me whole. Who told you to love your neighbor? He that made me whole. Who told you to love other people and put other people first, put other people's needs before yours? He that made you whole. Who told you, husbands, to love your wives as Christ loved the church, to love them as you love your own body? He that made you whole. Wives, who told you to submit unto your own husbands? He that made you whole. Who told you to go out and tell lost people that they're lost and that they need to be born again and how to be born again? He that made you whole. Who told you to do that? Who told you to say that? Who told you to act like that? Who told you to live like that? Who told you to think like that? He that made me whole. Yeah, but don't you know we do it this way? I don't care. You didn't make me whole. Yeah, but we've always, but you didn't make me whole. He who made me whole. Look, that's the only reason we need, isn't it? That's the only motivation that we need. That's the only thing that we need to keep our minds on. What's Christ tell me to do in his word? What do you do that for? How could I not? Why do we love him? Because he first loved us. Well, can't you just not go so overboard? Can't you just kind of cool it down? You know why other Christians want Christians that are all fired up to cool it down? Want them to turn it down a notch and kind of, you know why? Because your fervency shines light on their laziness, their spiritual laziness. When you stand up for biblical principles and then somebody else, what you got to be such a fanatic for? You know why? That's just another way of saying, you know, every time you do that, it points out that I'm sinning. Why don't you just quit doing that, and then I won't feel so bad about not doing it. That's what's going on. You're shining light, but it isn't your light. It's his light. Why don't you tone it down? Why do you have to do that? Why are you living that way? Why do you think like that? Why do you talk like that? Who taught you that? He who made me whole. I don't know if a song's ever been written, but that's a song title right there. We might have to get to work on that right there. He who made me whole. So what matters to the religious person? Wasn't that funny? I read all the way to verse 38 and said, let's see. I really don't do that as a joke. It just ends up that way. I really do get up here and say, maybe we'll do that. It's because I'm stupid and I don't learn. What matters to religious people? Tradition, outside adherence, doing it a certain. What matters to the spiritual person, the redeemed? Hey, I'm just doing what my Savior told me to do. What matters to them is not that it's the Sabbath, but the fact that this lame man who's been lame for 38 years is up walking around. That's what matters to a spiritual person. Not, yeah, but look, it's the Sabbath and he's not. He hasn't walked in 38 years and he's up walking around. That's what matters. So the question tonight for all of us is, what matters to us? What matters to us? We might not like the answers, but if we don't like the answers, we can get it fixed. If we ask God to shine the light on our heart and show us what we're more concerned with, are we concerned with petty things, these outward things, or are we concerned with the truth of the Word being preached and going forward and people being saved? Well, if he says, you're getting wrapped up in this little stuff, this petty stuff, and this tradition, and that, then we need to repent of that and ask God to forgive us and get that lined out and get back to caring about the things that God cares about, those weightier matters, the things that really do matter. Let's just have a word of prayer tonight and then we will dismiss. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for the word that You've given us. Thank You that You've put a Bible in our hands and that we can go to it and we can read it and we can learn and we can be changed by You. Our prayer tonight, Lord, would be this, that You would shine Your light upon our hearts. You would show us what matters. And if it's tradition, if it's religious stuff, if it's petty stuff, that You would convict us of that and we would repent of that and ask Your forgiveness and we would get back to caring about the things that really matter. The things that really matter. People being saved, people being made whole. Growing to be who You've called us to be. I pray that Your hand of protection would be upon us as a church, as individuals, and that You would use us to be a witness this week and bring us back again. If we don't meet in heaven first, that You'd bring us back again Wednesday night. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.